Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone. It is time to give away some Jazz tickets real quick. 801-575. Sorry, Sarah. I'm having a tough day. We'll give away tickets coming up at the 11:30 segment. But don't miss your chance to win big every week on the KSL Sports Zone. This week on Win Ticket Wednesday, you can win a pair of tickets to go see Tim McGraw at Delta Center on April 5th. Listen to the KSL Sports Zone all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Also want to remind you about Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Let's join a press conference now. Ben, Utah State making a couple of basketball hires. For the men and the women, hiring Jared Calhoun for the men and Wesley Brooks for the women. Let's get into the press conference. We'll hear from Athletic Director Diana Sabo as well as President Betsy Cantwell. Let's join that in progress.
Today will be as follows. We will hear first from Utah State University Vice President and Director of Athletics Diana Sabo. We will then hear from women's basketball head coach Wes Brooks. Athletics Director Sable will return to the podium, and we will then hear from men's basketball head coach Jared Calhoun. We will then conclude the press conference by opening it up for questions from the media. Once again, on behalf of Utah State University and the USU Athletics Department, thank you for being part of this special day. At this time, please welcome Utah State University Vice President and Director of Athletics, Ms. Diana Sabo.
Thank you, Doug. I want to first thank everyone with a heart of gratitude for your participation in today. This community truly cares about Utah State and Utah State athletics. But more importantly, we care about basketball, both for our men and for our women. And you have been a part of this great tradition and this great history. So thank you. Today we have VIPs and deans from our institution. President Elizabeth Cantwell had the opportunity to meet with each of our candidates during this search process, and today she is on university business traveling. We may see her, but if we don't, she sends her highest regards and can't wait to see how our new head coaches develop our young talent. We have you, our donors, our investors, and our sponsors. We have members from our Blue A Collective here today. Thank you for driving, and thank you for giving us your time. We have members from our 16 varsity sports and their head coaches. We have the herd. Thank you. Go Aggies, I believe. And we have our spirit squad in Big Blue. Thank you. This is a community that cares, a community that cares about its people and its basketball. From Logan to Cache Valley to the Wasatch Front. And I'm very proud to be a part of that. And I'm even more proud today to welcome our two newest members and their families to our athletics family here in Logan. This is a new day in Utah State University basketball. In order to grow, there must be change. And this is a unique moment in time for our women's and our men's basketball programs. I thought I would start with a little bit of background on our process so that you could all be educated on how this went. So about 2.5 weeks ago, I started our process for change with women's basketball, identifying prime candidates and exceptional leaders. Last Monday, I started our process for our men's basketball transition for a new head coach for our student athletes. During this process, we determined that we needed a head coach with energy and passion, of the highest character for both programs, someone who truly cares about developing talent and developing people, not just in the field of competition, but in everyday life. We wanted to make sure that we honored, of course, our winning tradition, because winning is important, not just to our student athletes, but to this community. But we also wanted to make sure that while we reach for the postseason, that we do it with our core values and our Aggie mission. So in order to do that, we formed a small internal interviewing committee. These members of the community and our committee, I want to thank for your time, for all the material that you had to read, and for the numerous Zoom interviews that we conducted for each searches. Thank you. Members of that committee were from our athletics department, from our university staff and academics, and from our support staff. I'd also like to thank our student athletes for our women's and our men's basketball programs that participated in this search effort. They gave of their time, they were professional, and they provided feedback that was important as we went through this process. So with that, this is a transformational day. And as I said before, I'm very proud to introduce our next leaders of our men's and our women's program. So first, I don't know if anyone's ever done a joint press conference before, but we're gonna come at this and we're gonna be untraditional, but we're gonna win. So first, we'd like to introduce Wesley. Wesley West Brooks comes to us as our 10th women's basketball head coach. He brings 20 years of collegiate experience as a former assistant at The Ohio State University. Wes was able to take the Buckeyes to three straight NCAA appearances, most recently advancing to the Sweet 16 in 2022, the Elite Eight in 2023, and the second round of the NCAA tournament this year. Ohio State also achieved a pair of Big Ten conference titles under Wes's leadership. Coach Brooks also coached at the University of Michigan, where he spent four seasons. He helped the Wolverines earn three straight trips to the NCAA tournament, their highest in program history, the Sweet 16. He also developed three All-Americans during this time. He spent, importantly, time at the University of Utah, so Wes knows this region and he knows this part of the country. We're thankful for his proven effort to develop young women and to grow their talents. So please join me in welcoming Wes, his beautiful wife, Johanna, and their sweet daughter, Elsa, who's taking a nap, to our community in Logan.
Good morning, good afternoon. I want to first start and say I want to give honor and thanks to God for a wonderful opportunity, my wife Johanna and my daughter Elsa for their love and support every day. I also want to once again thank our athletic director Diana and President Cantwell for giving me the opportunity to lead the Utah State women's basketball program. I am excited and I'm looking forward to establishing a program that everybody here can be proud of. Our goal will always be to win championships. I'd be remiss not to thank The Ohio State University, Kevin McGuff, Gene Smith, and Kerry Hoyt for helping me prepare for an opportunity like this. I also want to thank the wonderful staff that I've been a part of the last 3 years. We had an incredible run. And finally, I'd like to thank my agent, Mike Harrison, Harrison Sports Management, for all his help throughout this process, as well as all the coaches who've helped me get to this point throughout my career. My ethos as your head coach will be guided by my faith, family, and doing what's best for Utah State University and our players. You can expect us to play hard, you can expect us to play fast, you can expect us to play smart, you can expect us to play together. Our players will be engaged in the community, and we understand the importance of being role models and inspiring the next generations of athletes. Every day, the staff and I will look to empower, compete, and conquer. We empower by building and developing the skills of our student athletes so that they can go out and conquer on and off the court. Despite the changing landscape of college athletics, I still believe about preparing the student athlete for 4 years so that they can be successful for the next 40 years of their life. With that, go Aggies.
Thank you, Wes. Before we move on to our men's basketball head coach introductions, we have a birthday to celebrate today. I do believe our newest member of our Aggie family, Quinn Calhoun, is 5 today. Quinn, could you stand up so we could all say happy birthday? So everyone will remember that not only is April 2nd Aggie Basketball Day in Logan for Utah State University, but is also Quinn Calhoun's birthday. Okay, so now on to Quinn's dad. I would like to introduce to you our 22nd head coach of our men's basketball program. Jared Calhoun most recently led Youngstown State to back-to-back 20 season wins for the first time in school history. He spent the last 7 years as the head coach of Youngstown State. He won the 2023 Horizon League regular season championship, and Jared was also named that year the Horizon League Men's Basketball Coach of the Year and the National Association of Basketball Coaches, NABC, District 12 Coach of the Year. Prior to taking on Youngstown State, Coach Calhoun led Fairmont State to championship success during 5 seasons, leading the Fighting Falcons to a 124-38 impressive record. Also, he recorded 4 appearances in the NCAA Division II tournament, including a national championship runner-up finish in 2017. As a 7-20-win campaign overall career coach, it is our excitement and honor to welcome Jared to our Utah State family. Let's welcome Jared Calhoun, his wife Sarah, their children Jordan, Kennedy, Kendall, Quinn, Jared's mother Lisa, and his trusted associate Paul Molinari to our Aggie family. Thank you.
I got to raise this a little bit here. Really, really excited to be here. Cannot thank all of you guys enough for coming out. I think it speaks volumes to the impact that this community can have on one another. I want to thank our players. The most important people are the players. These guys have been, as Diana said, unbelievable. I mean, they just got done playing, making history. Just as we met earlier today, I cannot thank them enough. I'm excited to work with these guys. I think we're going to have a tremendous chemistry with one another, and we're ready to get started. I also want to thank Youngstown State. As Wes said, he was at Ohio State. I was at Youngstown State. I can't thank President Tressel, Ron Strollo, Rocky Nolfi, the entire Youngstown State community. The way we do things here, and I think you guys will learn really fast, we pour into this community. One of the things that Diana was looking for in this search is somebody that's going to be out in the community, right? At different events, sporting events, anything that you guys have that you want our basketball program to do, I'm here to tell you we're going to jump all in. And the environment, the impact that you can have on people is tremendous. But I will say this, I was involved in a couple searches, and Paul can attest to this, and my wife can attest to this. And I told our players this. You know, back on the East Coast, you know, the conference games here are much later. The Aggies became my favorite team last year. I told Coach Sprinkle this 2 nights ago. We talked for an hour and a half. I fell in love with this group of players. I told these guys, if they come back, they run it back, we can win a national championship. I truly believe that. I got hooked on these guys and the fan base. But as we went through this process, one thing that drew me to this place was Diana. Her leadership, her vision. My wife said, you finally met your match. And I think you guys are going to realize Coach Calhoun goes 100 miles an hour, whether it's fundraising, being in this community. Logan fits us. As we drove in here last night, we said, This is a little bit like West Virginia. The mountains are much prettier out here, but we feel at home. And I think that is so, so important. So why Utah State? This is not a rebuild. This is a reload. We want to reload our talent. We want to develop our talent. And we want to have a style that fans gravitate to coming into Spectrum. I cannot thank all of you guys for coming out. I know the expectation level around here. I welcome that. I welcome that. I want to take that head on. I understand the expectations of this program. All the coaches, all the former players had a chance to reach out to a lot of those guys. One thing they constantly said was how special Logan is and how special the Spectrum is. You get goosebumps as you go in there. You guys, the herd, cannot wait to meet you guys. Whatever you need from me, I'm here for you. That's how we do it. You know, as far as people always want to know style, what's your style? My style is pretty simple. We want to play the right way. We want to stay connected. We want to find, keep advantages on the floor, whether that's a post up, a ball screen, an off ball screen. We want to be on the attack. We want to score in the 80s, right? We want to have a fun style to play. Like I said, we're gonna get a chance to meet all of you guys here today. The door is always open. I'm a people person, and I cannot thank you guys enough for coming out. The next 48 hours are going to be very crazy. What excites me is the relationship I get to build with these guys. They've been awesome so far. And the goal here is quite simple. Let's win a national championship. Go Aggies.
All right, there's the Utah State introductory press conference for a couple of new college basketball coaches. I know that... you probably talked quite a bit about this yesterday, Ben, but any thoughts on, well, specifically Jared Calhoun and his select? I think Utah State's a pretty good basketball job, and this is where they settled. What do you think?
You know, there's a Tom Fornelli on Twitter, I think it is, who always makes the joke. Great hire. No idea if it's going to work.
No.
Just like, you can have the perfect person come in who has all the right connections, you would think is going to be the exact right person, and it just takes some magic sometimes to get things to work. Like, if Danny Sprinkle doesn't do anything at all in Washington, are we going to be surprised? No. Is he the absolute fit? Loves Seattle, just came from a hot school, far exceeded expectations, might be able to bring a few transfers with him. Like, all the things that should line up to create this winning formula are there, and I have no idea. So... I love Utah State. I love watching them play. They were maybe the best story we've had easily the best story we've had in sports so far this year through the first 4 months of the season, 3 months of the year. But can you keep that going, and can you replace three coaches in a row? You know, can you hit three times in a row? It's really hard to do.
It is, but I would argue that Utah State is proving out that it might be more about the location and the job. You made that debate we've had since the beginning of the show. Good job, good coach. Which is it? Utah State might be a good job, but I will say this. I hope they didn't hire a search firm. First of all, I don't know why anybody hires a search firm, but if they hired a search firm only for Sabo to land on the Youngstown coach, which was right down the road from Ohio State, then that was a waste of money. But I think that a search firm is a racket anyway. So for some reason, these universities continue to hire these search firms. Which, could you imagine if you paid $1 million to a search firm and they found you a bozo?
Him? That guy?
That guy? Like, yeah. USC hired a search firm to land them Mike Bone, the athletic director? Huh.
Really? Without apparently looking at all into his background.
At all
into his
background.
Which is what their job is.
Yeah. The search firm comes to USC and be like, this is your guy. Really?
Top of our list every time we checked.
So, you know, we'll see. And we'll see how Calhoun does there at Utah State. Being the flagship of the Aggies, I hope he does well.
Here's his big job.
But
can he bring talent? It's all that matters. Unfortunately, it's just all that matters.
I actually don't agree, because I think Danny Sprinkle proved that you actually don't have to have a lot of talent.
But, like, you had Great Osabor, who's a very good player. He was a really good player.
He was a Big Sky guy.
Yeah, right. He was good. He recognized the talent to get him to Montana State and then brought him with him to Utah State. That's great. That was good talent identification. You've got to go find talent.
I think Sprinkle actually was a good coach.
Darius Brown found him. Transfer portal, right? Perfect fit. Veteran guard, overlooked by everybody else for some reason, got him to come play at Logan.
But listen, like Craig Smith, while he was at Utah State, had Nimi, NBA guy, Sam Merrill, NBA guy. That team was about the talent. Yeah, I think Ray Osabor was Mount West Player of the Year, and he had a great year. But that Utah State team was not, it's not the same as the Nimi, Sam Merrill team.
No, of course not, no.
Danny did a great job coaching. There's no way that that team had any business going to the NCAA tournament.
I'm with you.
I don't know why we're splitting hairs on this. But anyway, JJ, Jeremiah Jensen is going to join us coming up right around the corner. Speaking of Jeremiah, we want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteering to make an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Jeremiah Jensen joins us next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's give away some Jazz tickets. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to go see the Jazz take on the Nuggets at Delta Center on April the 9th. So caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. Go see the world champs. Joining us now, co-host of JJ and Alex every afternoon here on the KSL Sports Zone. And, of course, you can see him on KSL Channel 5, the one and only Jeremiah Jensen. What's going on, Jeremiah?
Jake, Ben, how are you guys?
We're doing terrific. Hey, we've got some interesting games coming in the NBA. Let's talk some big picture basketball. Jazz are still going to see the Nuggets before the end of the year. They're going to see the Warriors twice. I guess, who in the NBA are you buying? How many contenders do you think there really are?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think the list in the East is pretty narrow. If I'm being blunt, I think it's the Celtics and that's it. Maybe the Sixers if Embiid is healthy. He is coming back and it's going to be interesting to see the Sixers possibly in a play-in situation, having to fight through that. And I respect the Heat, so maybe I'll throw them out there. Notice I'm not saying the Bucks, I'm not saying the Cavaliers. I don't buy the Bucks. This Doc Rivers thing I don't think has worked out very well. They're almost 500 since he came on board. I'm not buying the Bucks at all, and I just don't think the Cavaliers, they didn't even win a playoff series last year. While they're having a good regular season, I still don't buy in on them. So I'm going to say one real contender in the East, maybe two quasi-contenders in the West. I'm going to obviously start with the Nuggets, and I'm going to skip a couple teams that are at the top of the standings. I don't buy the Thunder and Timberwolves as contenders yet. I think that the Thunder are on their way, and it's pretty special what they're doing there, but it takes time, and I don't think it's going to happen all in one year where they can make that big of a push. I do believe the Clippers are a team that could make a run and give the Nuggets some problems. In a seven-game series with those veterans, if they're all healthy, that's a scary, scary group, and you know, there are multiple guys on that team have a lot of playoff experience and really good players. So I like the Clippers a lot. And then I'm going to actually throw the Lakers in as well. I know a lot of people are going to cringe when I say that, but what did they do last year? I mean, they were just kind of quiet going along all, you know, trudging through a regular season. And then last year they make a run to a conference final. And as long as LeBron is there and Anthony Davis is playing at a high level, you have to respect them and take them seriously as a contender. So that's my list, guys. I don't think there's any more teams in the West that I buy at this point as truly contenders. I really would look out for the Clippers in the West, though. I think that could be a dangerous matchup with the Nuggets.
I mentioned two of Jeremiah's jobs in the intro. I left out the fact that he's also a part-time fortune teller. If you didn't know, he's got a kiosk at the mall. He slaps on an Eastern European accent and tells fortunes. With that in mind, Jeremiah, Donovan Mitchell will be on what team in 2 years?
The Brooklyn Nets.
Ooh, I like it. Explain.
Everyone thinks the Knicks. Okay, so we know where he wants to go. He wants to go back home. I respect that. I get that. The Knicks have a star in Jalen Brunson who basically plays and does the same thing that Donovan Mitchell does. New York has fallen in love with Jalen Brunson. He's not going anywhere. He's signed to a long-term contract. Donovan Mitchell is not a fit with the Knicks right now or in the future. The Brooklyn Nets are rebuilding. The Brooklyn Nets are going to have cap space in order to sign him. The Brooklyn Nets make too much sense for him. I think that's where he goes. I think that's a team that does have some pieces already in place that they could pair with Donovan Mitchell. And with the teardown that they're doing, they're almost doing exactly what the Thunder and the Jazz are doing right now, which is losing games on purpose. Well, not the Thunder right now, but in the past. They're angling for a draft pick, and they're trying to build up their assets in order to make those moves that they think are going to make them competitive in the future. And I kind of think they're not like the Knicks, where they put every story out there that they want people to see and know. I feel like the Nets are angling for that big splash free agent, and they realize that Donovan Mitchell is a player that wants to come to the New York area and play basketball. And I think that's where they're going. So I think that's what's going to happen, is I think Donovan Mitchell is going to be a member of the Brooklyn Nets in 2 years.
He's not playing tonight. News just came down. He's got that left knee that he's dealing with. That he's not playing tonight.
Shocker.
So, yeah, not a huge stunner. Jazz don't see either Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell this year.
Yeah, good. More minutes for Sam Merrill.
Yeah, we'll get to see Sam make his return, and we'll be celebrated rightly.
He lit up the Jazz last time, right?
He's fun to watch.
Yes, he did in Cleveland. Yeah, he could not miss. So what a fun story that is, Sam Merrill. It's going to be good to see him back here, and I hope he lights it up the Jazz tonight, because we're obviously not concerned about Jazz winning or losing games right now. So let's see the Sam Merrill show. I'm all for it.
JJ, let's talk a little broader sports and kind of bring this back, because we'll see what happens this offseason. But NHL still very much in the ether for the state of Utah, and all the bills have passed to make sure that it will be available if the NHL agrees. Where are you on the NHL coming to Utah, and how quickly do you think fans will learn it, embrace it, and have it become kind of a feature of our town?
If you add everything together that's going on here, you know, we're not privy to all the information, and the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, has kind of tried to deflect some of the talk about Utah and getting a team, because he's trying to fix that Arizona situation and, you know, throwing out expansion when there's so many other cities that want to have it. I think he's got to play it politically really coy. But knowing that he's met with Ryan Smith, and Ryan Smith pushing forward the way he is with the energy he's pushing forth with, and the fact that the legislature's all in, I think that there's people in the know. I think this is going to happen. Can I say that with 100% surety? No. I think that it could take time. Maybe it happens next year with the Coyotes moving here. Maybe it happens in 10 years with the NHL expansion. I don't know, but I do feel 90% certain it's going to happen at some point. Will Utahns embrace this 100%? Trust me, everyone will be on board once they experience NHL hockey. You've seen the way that this community has poured itself into the Utah Jazz over decades. When the Jazz first moved here, guys, no one thought it would work, because people here loved college basketball so much, there was no way they were going to support pro basketball. And look what happened. So another sport here, is there enough support for that? Absolutely, yes. Is there a thirst and hunger for it? Absolutely. And once people here experience NHL hockey, especially if they get to experience the Stanley Cup playoffs, you see what happened in Vegas. You've seen what's happened in Seattle. It would be no different here. In fact, I think it would be more intense, because people here are so passionate and supportive of the teams that represent this community.
Caitlin Clark is a big deal. She's going to the Final Four. Great performance against LSU. Ben and I were, I don't want to say debating, but we were discussing in the 10 o'clock hour whether or not she's a big enough deal to make the WNBA a thing. What do you think on that?
Here's the problem. We've had so many great stars in college basketball lately. You've had players go to the WNBA recently. Sabrina Ionescu, Asia Wilson, the list goes on and on. The problem with the W, it's not a women's basketball problem. It's an organization problem with the WNBA. That league has to get better. It has to improve itself. It has to improve its marketing. there's a lot of things with that league that has to improve. The problem is not women's basketball. It is the WNBA. Because you've seen the attention and the excitement and the marketing that's taken place among these college women's basketball players. It's not just Caitlin. You've seen Angel Reese. You've seen many others. It's not just that. So the WNBA has got to get its ducks in a row. And so will Caitlin Clark go to the NBA, change that? I don't think so. Until certain things change with that league, it's going to continue to struggle, and it's continued to struggle to get attention and traction in this country. It has nothing to do with the game itself. It has to do with the way it markets itself and the way it pays their players. And obviously that's a money issue that the owners have to fix in that league. But I don't think that Caitlin Clark's going to solve all the WNBA's problems, but it may help. I haven't seen anyone quite to her level of popularity and draw in quite some time, although there's been some great players. So maybe that'll help. But, guys, it doesn't solve all the problems of the WNBA.
Jeremiah, you are the best. Thank you for jumping on with us. We'll be listening this afternoon, and we'll be dialed in tonight. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Jeremiah Jensen.
I'm excited to experience NHL hockey. I've never been into an NHL game. Grizzlies games are very fun. But, again, I mean, it's kind of what we're talking about with the WNBA, and I think astute from Jeremiah there is, you know, sometimes it's not the talent at all. Sometimes it's the league. And, again, I'm not going to blame the Grizzlies. I mean, it's a minor league. They've served their purpose exactly what they're supposed to be doing, you know. But you don't get a lot of stars coming through there. You've got a Stingers hat on today. Well, the Bees have had a couple of stars come through, but people don't go to that league for the stars. Occasionally you'll get, you know, guys sent down. Mike Trout has played, Big Poppy, et cetera. But, like,
Mike Trout I don't think has ever been sent down. He was down here before he got called up.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, regardless. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the league. But, like, the NHL, I'm excited to see the NHL. I'm excited to see that product here, whether it's next year, 2 years, whatever it is. I'm excited to see that product. I'm excited to feel that excitement that exists in that league, because you can't replicate those things until you're there.
Tony Parks has a funny Bartolo Colon story when he got sent down due to a rehab assignment. His fly was down, and Tony was like, "Hey, pal, your fly's down." Bartolo Colon called him like a pervert in Spanish. Hilarious. Give me the most random competitive activity you can think of.
Pickleball.
If Sam Farnsworth were to play Jeremiah Jensen in pickleball, who would win?
Sam.
He just gives off pickleball vibes or what?
I've seen Sam shoot free throws. He won the free throw shooting contest at Media Day 2 years ago.
If Sam Farnsworth and Jeremiah Jensen were to play a game of Uno, who would win?
Uno?
Uno.
I don't know.
It's kind of luck-based.
Yeah, and I feel like I can't tell which one of them is more competitive.
Don't ask me why. Sam. I would pick Jeremiah. And don't ask me why, but Sam strikes me as someone like me when playing Uno that would forget to say Uno when they're down one card. I don't know why I can't play that game without, like, one card, Uno. It's the name of the dang game. But yet I get busted on it every time I play.
Isn't Sam's wife a coach?
Golf coach.
So he's, like, lives competitively. Have you ever met a coach that isn't competing at everything?
It doesn't make you good at Uno.
I bet you she plays tough, and I imagine that
his wife's good at marrying somebody
who wouldn't match her competitiveness.
Yeah, whatever. I've married an attorney. You think
how's my legal prowess? A perfect fit.
Stay tuned. Wrapping up the show. Coming up next, Jacob Benn, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The KSL Sports Zone, the 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Also, we want to remind you about America First Credit Union. Get the official debit cards of the Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Ben, we want to say congratulations to Taylor Swift, who apparently is officially a billionaire.
About time.
Apparently the
took you so long.
The Eras tour put her over the top. Wonder how much money per night she makes off that.
Oof. It's got to be a lot if she's gotten up to $1 billion.
Well, I'm sure. Well, how do concerts work where she gets a flat rate no matter what, right? And then the promoter gets the...
I would imagine she's different than, yes, the guy who goes and plays the garage and says, like, I get this, a cut of the door and merch.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But, like, if I mean, tickets for all her shows sold well, but, like, if tickets don't sell well in Cleveland, she gets the same amount no matter what.
She has a $10 million appearance fee.
But Live Nation, who I believe promotes her concerts because they promote, like, every concert, they get to... They take all the risk and they get the rewards based on whatever, right?
Taylor Swift makes approximately $13.6 million per concert she performs at.
Hot dog!
It's not a bad day's work.
I'll tell you what, I'd get out of bed for $13 million. I'll do that. Yeah, sure. I mean, it is a thing for her, though. She went to football stadiums. That was her thing. She wasn't touring any joint that wasn't going to pack in.
Shout out Kilby Court. She's not going there.
No. The complex or whatever. She's not hitting that up.
Yeah.
But she's played Delta Center before a couple of times, and she wasn't doing those kind of...
Too small.
She wanted to have 60,000 people per show.
Yep.
You know what Garth Brooks did a few years ago, which is what I thought was pretty cool? Instead of doing that one show of 60,000 or whatever, he did like... as many shows as the venue could sell tickets for. So, like, he did, like, I think he did three shows at Delta Center. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I thought that was so
cool. He notoriously did a lot of shows and didn't have expensive tickets because he wanted people to be able to see
it. He wanted people to see it, which I think is awesome. Now, he's not at the height of his celebrity like Taylor Swift is.
Of course.
It's one thing to do that when you're, you know, a legend doing nostalgia tours. It's quite the other to say, oh, I'll take less.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next tour, I'm going.
Yep. Taylor or Garth?
Oh, Taylor, for sure. I don't know about Garth. I've you know what? I probably would have a good time at a Garth Brooks show because I feel like most people I talk to that went to one of his concerts, like, talk to Scotty G about it. I think he's been to a couple. He went to some back in the day.
Yep.
Pretty awesome. I mean, I'm sure he's a great performer. Who would you rather see?
Taylor.
And you don't even like Taylor Swift.
Correct.
That gives you, wow, why do you hate on Garth so much?
Not my style.
You don't have friends in low places?
Too many. That's why it's hard to watch.
All right, stay tuned. Hanson Scotty coming up next, mercifully. The show comes to an end. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.